Praise the Lord. All right, this morning we want to take a thought from the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to be starting reading in the 11th chapter. Amen. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. I'm going to speak this morning on a perfect balance or weight. The word says you use the word balance and weight, which is the same one. A perfect balance is a delight in the eyes of the Lord. Now, when we look at this, we want to look at a balance, and some of the younger folks may not know what a balance is in the sense like it used to be years ago. And now it's called scales. You weigh something, you put it on the scales, they call it. Well, I don't know exactly when the word scales began to be used in relationship to weights or balancing something. But what a power balance is, and that's the way the old country store owners always weighed something. They would have something that weighed a pound on one side if you wanted a pound of something. And most everything sold by pound. A pound of flour, pound of sugar, pound of coffee, and those things. And they weren't pre-packed. And the store owner would weigh them out, you know, for the people. Flour, coffee, and whatever it was. And they would have a weight on one side, and they would put a pound in the other side to balance, and it would, when it got level, thereabout, that would be a pound. And that's the way it used to be all the time. But later on, now, most things you buy at the store is prepackaged. And the weight of them is stamped on. You buy it already prepackaged. But these are later developments. I remember back when you didn't have those things. You wanted a pound of coffee, they weighed it out for you. Wanted a pound of sugar, they weighed it out for you. You wanted this, they weighed it out for you. And they would have a weight. A pound and a half, 2 pounds, and 5 pounds, and so on. And they would have like several 1 pound weights and a couple of 5 pound weights. And depending on what you wanted, how many pounds you wanted, they'd put that much weight on the other side of the scale or the balance. And it would weigh out, when it balanced out, that would be the amount. But different times, the different ones would have a false weight. They wouldn't weigh quite a pound or weigh over a pound, depending on which way it profit the one that was doing it. Amen. And that's what King Solomon in the book of Proverbs writing. As he says here, and I'll read the scripture now. Proverbs 11, verse 1, it says, "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." Amen. In other words, if you got selling something by the pound, your counterbalance has to weigh a pound. See? Amen. And if it weigh over a pound, then you would be giving out a little more than a pound. Or if it weighed less, you would be gaining a little extra. Like somebody buy 100 pounds of sugar. Well, they bought it in bags. Well, by the time they sold it all, they would have wound up selling 110 pounds out of that 100 pound bag. Amen. Because of their weight, they had the weight fixed to do that. Now, we used to pick cotton, and we got paid by the pound. And Brother Clifford, yeah, I know, remember, get it in the bag. Well, don't matter how much you pick, their scales said about the same thing. I think we got a nickel or or 10 cents for picking a big bag of cotton, big sack full. We picked it by hand. That's the way we used to do it down here in the South. Years ago, there was no automatic cotton pickers. We picked it by hand. And irregardless of how much you pick or how much you packed in the sack, you would only get a nickel's worth or 10 cents worth, whatever you got per bag. So some of the older boys pick cotton. They begin to notice if they had a bag of cotton that was packed full, it weighed the same as if they didn't get it quite as full. So they decide to come up and put rocks in the bag. You remember that, Brother Clifford? Yeah. So some of them would put rocks in the bag to get it to weigh more, make a little more money. But they found out whether they had rocks in the bag or whichever way, they got a nickel worth. It weighed enough to bring a nickel. So it didn't take too long to figure out that somebody's scales is way off, that they've got those scales fixed so that it won't weigh but a certain amount. So they got so they didn't try to get it packed too full. Well, that's what God's talking about here. Solomon said, unjust balance is abomination in the sight of the Lord. But it says a just weight is his delight. In other words, do things right. Now, in the book of Amos, well, there's another scripture here in this Proverbs dealing with that. Let's read it. It's the 20th verse. Now, we're going to get on the word and spirit just a little bit. Amen. The word says you got to worship God in spirit and truth. Now, the last two messages showed the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. And both of them God created. And both of them was good. And both of them was laws. And we need both of them, see? Amen. But it's got to be in perfect balance. I told you last week about a man that told me when I preached about the Word of God, how you got to have the Spirit of the Word. Well, actually, he didn't tell me. He said in church, he said, I'm telling you, folks, we are getting so close to God, and God's Word is coming in the spiritual form, which it is. He says, pretty soon, we are not going to have to use the Bible at all. It'll be of no value because we'll have the Spirit. But that's not right, see? That's a false balance, see? Amen. The Word, you've got to have the written Word and the spiritual Word. Paul, he taught the Word of God. He truly said, the letter killeth, but it's the Spirit that giveth life. But that's taking the letter without taking the anointing and the Spirit of the Word. Because Paul himself used the Word of God. Amen. He brought about Abraham, told about Abraham, told about David, reading the Word of God. And he said it's written in the prophets, you know, certain things. Yes, God moved up on him in such a way, and he let us know that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they're spiritual discernments, meaning that just taking the Word of God without trusting God for the revelation of it and the Spirit of it, you're going to get way out of balance, see? Amen. One side of that balance, or scales, I'll use both words here occasionally so that everybody will know what I'm talking about. And again, I'll say earlier years it was balance. You had a certain thing with the perfect, on each side it was level and you had certain weights. Now you still, in most of the doctor's offices, when you go away today, they've got certain weights they put on. And slide the scale and so on. And each one of them weights signifies a certain thing. Now, I worked with a man once, and he weighed about 340 pounds. He went to the doctor, and I think they wasn't used to having anybody to weigh that, and they had to hunt up. Took them a while to find enough weights to work out so they could get his weight, see? Amen. But God's word, it weighs out the natural word on one side of the scale, the tree of knowledge, and the tree of life on the other side. Both of them together balance is just exactly what God ordained to bring children into the world with eternal life. Amen. Amen. It's still the same way. Hallelujah. Amen. It fell, the church fell away, and Adam and Eve fell away. They got unbalanced. The serpent came to Eve. He didn't know anything about the tree of life. He didn't know anything about the Spirit of God. The only thing he was quoting, what God had said, you know. And so she was still in a stage of innocence. She didn't know. Amen. And the Bible says Adam wasn't deceived, but Eve was, you know. So she thought she was doing right. And a lot of people think they're doing right just taking the letter of the word. Amen. They think if we study so much and we get people in the altar and we call them up and get them pray certain prayers and so on like that, that give them eternal life. It does not. Amen. That might get someone born by the tree of knowledge. But the tree of knowledge, the day you eat thereof without proportioning it with the tree of life, that day you die. Amen. Now, someone said, well, God said not to eat it. Yes, he did. Not to eat it alone. And I brought in a little thing here. We were talking the other day about it. About Jesus telling his disciples, telling Peter and the others in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew's, telling them, don't go to the Gentile. See, don't go. Go, and don't go to the Samaritan. Don't go in the way of Samaria. Don't go to the Gentile, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, amen. Don't go to them at all. But then, later on, time elapsed and time came for there to be a move of God's Spirit in another direction. The voice of God came and said, go. Amen. Amen. And it says, go, doubting nothing. And this is in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Remember Peter up on the housetop praying, and the Spirit of God came to him and told him to go and told him what to do. And that go to Cornelius' house, a Gentile's house. 10th chapter, to go. And Peter, he had already been instructed in a very affirmative way by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Don't go to the Gentile. Go to the house of Israel. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Only go to the house of Israel. That's the commandment was, don't go to the Gentile. But when Peter was on the housetop praying several years later, he fell in a trance and saw a vision. And we touched on this a little the other week, so I won't go into great details on. But on a sheep was let down, and he saw all these different animals that, according to the Jewish law, Moses has said, you can't eat, thou shalt not eat these. Now watch. See, the time has to come, and the season has to come. Amen. And then it happened. You can't get apples off the apple tree in the dead of winter, see. But when the season come around, the whole thing changed, see. Amen. So the vision God saw, and I'm not going to Peter saw, I'm not going to elaborate on it. God gave him a vision, and a sheet came down three times, and he saw on it those things that Moses said not to eat. But here come the voice of the Lord. The Spirit spoke unto Peter and said, arise, Peter, kill and eat. Well, Peter knew it was the Lord. You know why I know? Amen. He spoke to the Lord. He was acquainted with the Lord. And the way the Lord worked, he said, not so, Lord. Amen. Now I want you to compare that now with don't eat a tree. With the time they weren't to eat of the tree of life till the Spirit of God moved upon Adam and Eve, and it was time for them to come together, and then the tree of knowledge and the tree of life would come together, and there would be a beautiful child produced with eternal life. See? But they didn't keep the word. So Peter, he was stunned. Now sometimes God does something for us that stuns us. Sometimes God does something that shocks us. Sometimes God does something that causes us to raise our eyebrow and listen. Perk up our head and listen. Because it's something that you hadn't heard like this. It's something that you seem to be contrary. Well, that didn't just seem to be contrary. What God was telling Peter was absolutely, totally contrary to his instruction from Moses and from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, see. But the season has changed. Israel had rejected the plan of salvation as a whole. And time came for God to begin to fulfill some scripture. See, Jesus, the word says that Jesus, when he came, he began to say, the people said, in darkness saw a great light, quoting the scripture, and to the Gentiles, light is spring up. And then we go to Romans chapter 15. And Paul reached over and began to quote scripture that brings in how, and they were written in the Old Testament, bring in scripture how that the Gentiles would trust in his name, that he would be for salvation to the Gentiles, that a light would spring up. But yet here's the Lord saying, don't go to anyone but Israel. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't eat these things, in other words. And that eating there has nothing to do with what we eat physically. It was just showing that it was in his mind. He had to get a different mindset to walk in the truth that God was going to give. Amen. And God is giving his people a different mindset to be able to walk in this truth, see the truth, amen, and go with it. Amen. Now, there's one mindset that God has definitely begun to change here. And the Word says it will be that way. When we read about the fivefold ministry, we read what Jesus said about shepherds and sheep. The minister be the shepherd and you be the sheep. More or less what the thing was, you know. feed my sheep, he said to Peter. But then we come down through the church ages, they took that scripture and they made it making priests, you know, overseers, elders, and everything that when the people come in, they came in like going in a prison cell and listen to a speech, you know. Amen, because it was what the priest said, what the elders said, and what the authority said. And sheep, you are only sheep, and you, the only thing you do, just come and sit and be humble, say. Amen. Well, when we get over into the book of Ephesians, Paul began to write, and he began to tell about this fivefold ministry that God given to bring the church into a realm of completion or perfection. And he said about the ministry, so he said, this is the way to be until you reach the fullness of the statue of the man Christ Jesus, see. Amen. And then he said the whole body. He said you won't be tossed to and fro and carried about with everyone. He said the whole body will begin to edify one another. Each member will edify the other. Each joint will supply the other. Amen. And the picture of shepherd and sheep is lost in obscurity as we go into the final move of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we have to move with the moving of God's Spirit. We got to move with the revelation of God's Word. We got to keep a perfect balance in the Word of God, say. Amen. And that balance, it has to be Word and Spirit. And the Word has to match the time you're living in. Now, if Adam and Eve, see, they ate the tree of knowledge, they didn't wait, say. A message says, unlike Eve, we waited for God to bring about the condition to bring the Word to pass. Amen. Well, on the housetop there, and you might say, that wasn't a good place to pray, get on the housetop. Well, the house is flat, and that's a place to go rest in the evening and so forth and go pray. And the housetop was a good place to go pray. It still is in some of the Mideast countries and so on. It's flat, and they use it, and they sometimes have meals and so forth in the late evening. So Peter being on the housetop wasn't somebody like you might picture in your mind of someone climbing up on a house like an A-frame building up there to pray. No. Amen. It probably fell on Brooke's neck. See? You don't look at it like that, but you look at it as a flat place. And Peter up there praying, and I'm surprised he didn't fall off the building. Amen, even though it was flat. And the reason is this. What God told him, it just went totally contrary to all his teaching that he's been taught all his life. Amen. Hallelujah. And not only that, it went totally contrary to what Moses said when it comes to the eating of the certain animals that was unclean, see. To the fact that he said, Lord, not so, because nothing common or unclean's ever come into my mouth. I'm just not going to do it, Lord. Amen. So God let it happen three times. And he said, there's three men at the gate. And he said, arise, go with them, and watch the next word, doubting nothing. See, you're going to, Peter, just buckle your seatbelt real tight now, we were saying this. He said, you're fixing to see something your eyes ain't never saw before. You're fixing to see, or you're about to see, a move of God take place that it was prophesied in the Old Testament, mentioned by the prophets from time to time, but it wasn't a widespread prophecy, something that was talked about. But God is going to give salvation to the Gentiles. I'm not sure God told him in those words till he got there and started preaching. Because he went to Cornelius' house, he was a Roman centurion. A Gentile up one side and down the other, we would say. Amen, but he was a man that prayed. He was a man that loved God. Yet he was a Gentile, and salvation was restricted to the Jews only. Amen. Even after this, in the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible says the apostles went everywhere preaching the gospel to none but the Jews only, because that's what they were commanded to. But watch what God's doing over here, unbeknowing to Peter and some of the others. Amen, this hook no Jew named Saul. He was on the way down to Emmaus, Damascus, wasn't it? Down the way to Damascus. And the Bible says he was breathing out threatenings. Now, if I tell you somebody's breathing out threatening, in your mind, you're going to get in your mind, that's a foul person with a foul mouth, and he's just saying a lot of things he ought not say, because Paul said he was blaspheming. He blasphemed, called saints to blaspheme. Amen, but God had the seed of life in him, and that might have been one of the reasons why he was such an arrogant man when it come to the name of Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation. He was fighting against it because God says, hard for thee to kick against the prick. Paul, you got something in you, just like kicking aside the wall or something, or a thorn bush. And God struck him down. Amen. And he knew who it was. He knew it was Jesus. He saw the pillar of fire. He saw a great light. He said, Lord, who art thou? Amen. And watch Peter, just as like Paul got shocked. Like Peter got shocked on the housetop there when God told him to go to Jesse. Paul was just as shocked when he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. Because he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He hated all that had to do with it. He hauled them to prison and death, and he was really shocked. But God knows how to deal with us. Amen. Now I want to show you eating the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. It has to be in a perfect balance, doesn't it? Amen. And we've got to be where we can be led by the Spirit. See, they that are born of God, as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. They're the people of God. They're the children of God. Amen. And if you only got the Word, amen, that has nothing to do with being led by the Spirit of God. How many know it? Because who knew the Word better than Paul? He was learned at Gamaliel's feet, one of the greatest teachers of that day. And he knew that Word. But he got shocked. Because here come the tree of life began to sprout up right before him. Hallelujah, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Paul went down, he was struck blind and went down and got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that he was cursing and hating a few days before. Amen. I'll tell you, God can change situations, can't he? God can change you. Amen. And Paul, God spoke to him. You'll read this in the book of Acts also. I believe about 20, it mentioned 13th chapter, 22nd chapter, and maybe 26th chapter. He says that the Lord appeared to him on the way and said, Paul, I'm going to make you a light to the Gentiles, delivering them from the power of Satan to the living God. Hallelujah. Now here was a brand new thing, say. Amen. Paul's whole thinking had to change. And Schofield's notes, it says he was down, I believe, about 3 years in Arabia there. It says after 3 years, so it don't give details. Somewhere he got some history on it there, I guess. But Paul, he said, I got to get my head on straight. This thing's just too much for me, say. Amen. So he went down, and when he came back, amen, he made an announcement that shocked the people, especially in the Jewish realm. In the book of Romans 11, chapter verse 13, he stood up, and there was 12 apostles of Israel, because they had put one in the place of the one when Judas failed by transgression. They elected another because that 12 had to stay intact. Amen. But here come one. He went up and made an announcement. It's recorded in Romans 11, 13. He said, I am the apostle to the Gentiles, and I magnify my office. And a few months before that, they were keeping the words of Jesus to go not to the Gentiles. And here's a man step out and say, I am the apostle to the Gentile. And in the 15th chapter of Romans, Paul said, well, Jesus had to say that. And this is paraphrase. He said, because he was the minister, this is Romans 15:8, he was the minister to the circumcision to confirm the covenant made unto the Father, so he had to talk like he talked. Amen. But that same Jesus that was here in the flesh came back in the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's who it was on the day of Pentecost. The first leg of his coming. Hallelujah. And he came and he incarnated him in Paul to such an extent that he's in us all, see. In him we live, move, have our being. He's in us. He said, I'm you with me and I'm with you, and so on. And he said, I'm with you now, but I shall be in you. So the point is, Jesus came back in the Spirit, amen, to finish his work here. And when he came back in the Spirit this time, he anointed one particular man, amen, and this one particular man would be the messenger, would be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentile. Just as Jesus was the minister of the covenant of the circumcision, the minister of to bring the message to the fathers. This is Romans 15 and 15 chapter, I believe, verse 16. He said, "I am the minister of Jesus Christ to you Gentile." Hallelujah. And then in Colossians 1:24, he said, "The suffering of Christ, the suffering which is liking of the suffering of Christ, is made up in my mortal body. And he's chosen me to make known these mysteries that's been hid since the foundation of the world." Hallelujah. Now, do you see what happened there in the early church? Amen. You see, they started out, amen, in the Spirit. And they started out bringing the Word of God. But God began to bring more truth. Amen. And he never brought one bit of truth that didn't have its roots in the Word. Now, to catch that, he didn't tell the apostles to do anything that didn't have its roots in the written Word, which is the tree of knowledge. That's why you read Romans chapter 15. I love that chapter. It's one of my favorites. Well, I can say that about a lot of them. But Paul said, he began to quote Scripture, "In him will the Gentiles trust." And the telling about Gentiles, 5-6 verses down through that. After you pass the 8th verse, 8th verse deal with Jesus being the messenger to Israel. And that's why he had to say what he said. He said, "Don't you go, you apostles here. I know you're highly anointed. And I want you to go heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devil. But said, I want you to do it only among Israel. Don't even go to the Samaritan." Amen. But then, watch. Not too many years down the road, he said, "Now go to the Gentile." Amen. Just like he said, "Don't eat of the tree of knowledge." Because there was a time when the tree of knowledge and the tree of life was to come together and produce just exactly what God ordained. And the tree of knowledge was very good, see. Amen. How many sees that? Because God said when he got through creating, he looked and he saw everything that he's made and everything was very good. Amen. So that's what we're looking at here. Now there's a balance. God put a balance there. And it was very difficult for the Jews to get that balance. Fact is, they never did get the balance when it came to the Gentile. Because the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, I believe it is, where there was people went from Jerusalem down to the Gentile and began to say, "Except you be circumcised and keep the law, you cannot be saved." Well, Paul said, "I'm not going to stand for this. That's not what the Lord told me." He and Barnabas went up to Jerusalem, or Silas, whichever might have been the case. Both of them worked with him. After many days of disputing, amen, they concluded that the Gentiles didn't have to be circumcised, but they didn't say anything about the Jews. And then later on in the book of Galatians, Paul went up. Paul and Barnabas went up to Jerusalem where they were in conference. And Paul listened. Many days he listened. And as he listened, he saw they were going right contrary to what God told me to do. Amen. Paul, when he got through listening, he said, "They have added nothing to me, all you preachers." This is Galatians chapter 2. "You've added nothing to me," he said, "but contrary wise." When they saw, they didn't see it until then, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, which is Gentile, as well as the gospel was of the circumcised to be, they gave me the right hand of fellowship. And it was told Paul and Barnabas, "You go to the heathens." Galatians chapter 2. "Go to the heathens." And they would continue to go on to their own. But you see, How? You got to keep that balance in the Word of God, right? And those Jews, they had a lot of trouble doing it. And now a lot of people have trouble keeping the balance. They don't realize we've come to another age. They don't realize that the three offices of Christ is expressed in the Bible. He first came as the Holy Ghost. Amen. The next time we see Him in a major office, He came for the seven church ages. He walked around for seven church ages. Amen. Dressed as a high priest, making intercession for a fallen church. But then, watch out. Here it come. Amen. God moves in this hour, and here He come not as the Holy Ghost, not as the high priest, but here He comes as the mighty angel, the bridegroom. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 10. And He does that only after the seven seals open that sealed up what happened during the church age. We're in a new day. We're in a new time. Hallelujah. And it's time to take that tree of knowledge and the tree of life and put it in a perfect balance. Glory to God. And watch it come forth, that eternal life that God's ordained. It's time to take that Word, the written Word. Amen. Believe it. Love it. Amen. But realize it's only the tree of knowledge without the Spirit. Hallelujah. And while you're realizing that, you realize if we just take the Spirit and leave out the Word, you're in just as much trouble one way as you are the other. Amen. Amen. That's why the balance had to be just. He said a just balance is the delight of the Lord. But a false balance is abomination in the eyes of the Lord. You get one of them out of balance with the other. Amen. That's where the Pentecostal went down a dead-end road, and look what they finally wound up. They come to the church. They wanted to come to church to sing, shout, speak in tongues. Amen. And then say, many times in earlier years, I've been in Pentecostal meetings, and the Spirit of God moved, and they were blessed. They said, well, the Holy Ghost took over tonight. We don't have any preaching. We've already got it. We've already been blessed. Well, you come to church not just to feel the Spirit to get blessed. Amen. The Word says receive with meekness the engrafted Word that's able to save your soul. Paul said, these things you've heard me say, preach. He said, this doctrine, told Timothy, it said, in doing so, you'll save, not only save yourself, but them that hear you. Amen. The same man said, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. He brought it in there. If you read the book of Paul, you'll get a perfect balance. Amen. Like Sister Jenny had the vision in her mind last week as we preached, saw a power balance up here, like on each side of the pulpit, the little wing here. Amen. How balance out perfectly. Amen. There's a message today. Balance out perfectly. It's taking the written Word, the tree of knowledge, and blending it perfectly with the tree of life. And it's producing a wife, a bride. Hallelujah. And she's bringing forth the fruit of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. There's another scripture there. I was going to read a little more on this here. Balance. There's one here in the book. I'll just read the bottom part of the book of Amos. I want to show you. God keep telling a false balance. A false balance. You got to keep this thing balanced out. And your life has to be balanced out. There's many things in life we have to balance. Now I know there's been groups, and I'm not going into history. I've mentioned several times down through time. There's groups that pull a group of people away and isolate them from having any worldly contact, and at least have a minimum amount of worldly contact. Well, Jesus, He made us lights of the world, didn't He? Amen. And you usually put a light in the darkest part of the room, say. Amen. Is that right? Amen. And many people, they get so out of balance where Jesus says, come out from among the world. That has nothing to do with isolating yourselves in a certain group. And everybody in that group believed the same thing, had their own school and all these things to teach their own doctrine. They wind up most of the time so out of bounds that a false scale is abomination in the eyes of God. Can you say amen? Amen. He didn't take you out of the world, but He sanctified you. Amen. And keep you from the evil of the world, He said. He said, you're going to be in the world when He left. But you're going to be in the world. He said, Father, St. John 17th chapter, Father, sanctify them and keep them from the evil of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. We read about Paul. We read about the apostles. We never read where that they formed a little colony. Amen. And everybody come there that was Christian. Well, where are you going to be a light? They tried to one time sell the houses and all get together, and God dispersed it all to pieces. Amen. Didn't stay that way very long. That was among the Jews, but the Gentiles never have done that. We keep a balance in the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story. I read it there on Amos. It's talking about the poor people bringing their stuff into town that they worked for and so on. If you'll read get the essence of the whole story here. I believe I will read. I want the verse 5. But I'll read verse 4 and 5. It says, hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail. Saying, when will the new moon be gone? In other words, we do our business in the dark. It's too light here. When will new moon, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath day that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small. The ephah, that's like a half a bushel, making it small. In other words, you buy a bushel, but you get a peck. How many remember they used to have like a half a bushel, half a bushel, and then they got that in between. You remember Brother Clifford, the little one? Amen. And you think you're getting a half a bushel of apples or whatever you buy fruits. Well, really, they'd cut that size down on that thing. You're not getting that much. It'd probably take 2.5 of those to make a bushel, see? Well, that's what this year's saying. Make a half a small. And the sickle great, in other words, if they're selling, they're going to give you less and charge you more. But watch what he's saying here. And falsifying the balance by deceit. Amen. And he's bringing this in the natural, but it all has a spiritual application. Amen. Falsifying the balance. In other words, fix them. You know, fix them where they weigh what you want them weigh. Amen. Or putting the balance that throws away 1 pound, put it down to 12 ounces rather than 16. See, 16 ounces a pound. Put the balance, have it marked 1 pound, but really weigh 16 or 12 ounces. Hey man, you just got 4 ounces, pay for 4 ounces you didn't have to sell. He said to make the needy, that verse 4, that to make the needy and the poor to fail. See, in other words, put them out there working for it. Get them bringing in. We'll pay them what we want them to have, see. Amen. Well, God said that's abomination, falsifying a balance. Well, see, that's the way it is with the Word of God. It's a fault. If you falsify this, saying all you need is the Word, just study the Word. Come to Sunday school lesson. We have a Bible study on Wednesday night. And that's all right. I haven't got anything against a Bible study. But the point is, amen, you can have all the Bible studied Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and also Sunday night if the Spirit of God don't move in, make the Word live, and show you how to place it. Amen, the only thing you're doing is growing fat on the tree of knowledge. Can you say amen? Amen, without the Spirit of the Word, it takes the Spirit of the Word to make it live. I was listening to a tape by Brother Brown, and the name of it was Perseverance. Just one word, Perseverance. And in the tape, he called out a lot of people and so on, but he preached the Word. But he began to pray and began to reading the Word of God, get the people standing. He said, I like for people to stand when I'm reading the Word, to honor the Word. He said, this Word of, this Bible is the Word of God. And then he added this to it. He said, when it's anointed with the Spirit of God. See, other words, it has to be anointed and placed in a timely manner, see. Hallelujah. And we could go to the extremes of it, and I don't think it's necessary, but get the, what if I came up here preaching the Word, there's going to come a flood. There's going to come a flood, and everybody on earth is going to be drowned. You better build you an ark. Well, Noah preached that for his generation 120 years. Amen. Moses, going down about delivering the children of Israel, we could take what he said about it. Amen. And all we could go through all these time periods and time sequence and see what the word were for that particular time sequence. And show how God worked. But if you go back and try to do that, then you're only eating the tree of knowledge. Amen. Without the Spirit. Now, bring it up here hurriedly. And I'm skipping and leaving out, I'm sure you... We're leaving out some back there that we could bring in and show you. But let's get right to the church ages. Amen. I didn't read that in the... I guess you noticed that other place there in Proverbs about the bound. But the, anyway, I said enough about that. Amen. But each church age, what Luther preached... Let's bring it on up there, because that's where the Reformation started. Luther preached the just shall live by faith. And he took that truth, and God blessed him. There went a revival across Germany. Amen. And that was about all he knew. But other things he said, like the Jews, they ought to be killed because they're the Antichrist. They don't believe in Christ. See, he didn't have that revelation. Amen. But it was right for his day and age that he had a balance of the word that the just shall live by faith, and what his message was, what God was doing, he was pulling them out of Catholicism. Because in that day and hour Luther came forth, you didn't get your sins forgiven unless the priest forgave you. Amen. But he said, it's not that way, said the just shall live by faith. And I read where Luther's crawling up steps on broken glass doing penance. And he would talk to the priest and he said, just to do your penance, say Hail Mary and whatever you got to do, you'll be alright. He said, I done that. And I done my penance, but I still feel like I'm not, something not right in me. So he said, well, do some more penance then. Say 50 Hail Marys or something to that effect and all these things like that. He was crawling up a step on broken glass to really do penance. Up to a statue, kiss the statue, you know. Well, when he started doing it, God, there was an audible voice. Watch this tree of life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There was an audible voice came and said, Luther, the just shall live by faith. Amen. He came off and he came out of that Catholicism and started a revival. Amen. It went till God used another man, John Wesley. And he preached sanctification. And of course he had some of the same things, and I'm not going to go deep. Just showing you how that each time period, what's good for that time period is not necessarily what you need for this day and hour you're living in. Amen. Luther, he believed in the Trinity. John Wesley, so did he. And he sprinkled instead of baptizing. And God blessed them. And that was Asbury and all of them. You could read the history of it. And I'm not going back into it because God told me to go on, see. But just backing up, showing you enough here that the Word has been here for different ages, and the Tree of Life, they got hold of the Tree of Life for their time period, but the requirement was to keep moving with God. Amen. Amen. So Lutherans, they wouldn't go on to accept what John Wesley had. And then here come the Pentecostals, the second leg of the first leg of the coming Lord being restored back. The Pentecostals come, the Lutheran, and the whistling, all said that's of the devil, just a bunch of fanaticism. That talking in tongues and all, it'll blow, leave it alone, it'll blow over in about 2 years. Well, it went all over the world for all these years and it's still going. But the thing is, they took the Spirit, but they refused to take the Word. Amen. They had the Spirit, they were blessed, they were talking in tongues, they were doing all these things, and they had a ministers' conference about, I believe about 800 ministers or whatever it was. What's that number? About 600 ministers. And they believed in the Trinity. They formed the Assembly of God and later on the Church of God and all the, but there was two ministers stood up. Said, brethren, I've been studying the Word of God. One man stood up and said, there was nothing agreed with. And said, I cannot find anywhere in the Bible where there was anybody ever were baptized after the day of Pentecost except in the name of Jesus Christ. And another man jumped up, amen, and said, I've been doing the same. God's been dealing with that. And they preached that baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. The church turned them out and wouldn't have nothing to do with them, made their denomination, and they still Trinity. Amen, but the Word of God rolled on. Hallelujah. That's what happened. What was good prior to this time, prior to the revealing of the one God, water baptism, all these things. Amen. God had moved into another cycle, and you got to move up with God. Otherwise, you're only eating of the tree of knowledge. Amen. The same thing with those movements that we've gone through. Brother Brown came, and nobody has in this generation since Christ, nobody's ever been able to line people up and tell them where they're from, all about. And out of the thousand of time, it was 100% correct. Never a failure. Amen. Well, people gathered around that. Brother Brown said this. Brother Brown said that. Brother Brown said that. One man told me, said, Brother Ben, what you got to do is get the spoken word books. Read the spoken word books and lay in the sun and rhyme. Well, I tried it, and I laid in the sun, and I rotted. Amen. I tell you, you got to move. There's only one thing, give life to the Word. There's only one thing, give life to the tree of knowledge. Amen. It's the tree of life, the Spirit of God, as it come back and anoint the Word for this day and hour. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we get to Revelation 10. I'm talking about balance here. A false balance. A perfect balance is delight, is the Lord's delight. But a false balance is an abomination. Amen. And if we use that false balance all the way through as a business and whatever they are, I know it's ice creams now. Occasionally I'll get an ice cream. Did you know even they started cutting that like they have half a gallon package? There's only a few companies left that still puts a half a gallon in. You think you're getting a half a gallon, they done cut it down some, see. I'm going to feel like I've got a false balance here. Amen. I'm paying for a half a gallon, getting a part of it. Amen. But when you put it in the spiritual realm, what I'm putting it in. Amen. God has begun to move by His Spirit, opening up the seals. He's already done that. Christ has come. Amen. Not as high priest, but as a mighty angel. Hallelujah. And He has come. Give us the voice of authorization. Say, go take the little book and eat it. Amen. Say, it'll be in your mouth as sweet as honey, but it'll be in your belly. It'll cause your belly to be bitter. Now we can eat and enjoy and rejoice because it's already founded in the Word. There'll be a little book. Amen. And we've got the little book and we're eating of it. Hallelujah. And we're going to be translated. I was preaching on translation the other sometime back. So I said, Brother, how would y'all be careful there? Why? I asked. Why should I be careful when I say we'll be changed in a moment, twinkling eye? Well, you know, you get people with false hope. No, that ain't no false hope because it's the Word of God. How many will say amen? Paul said, we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, and bless your heart, He's come. Hallelujah, the living and dead will be here together. The Bible says together we'll be called up to meet the Lord in there. And somebody said, be careful about that now. Why? Because you won't stay back there and eat of the tree of knowledge and not go on and eat the tree of life and receive the benefit of it. Hallelujah, I want my new body that I've already seen. Hallelujah. Amen, I've already talked to my theotomy. Theotomy talked to me. Amen. You've heard the story a long time ago when I was in the chicken house there. And I was praying, Lord, should I continue here? Because with what I was doing, it was tying me down. I had my hands tied. I couldn't get out and maneuver for God like I wanted to, like I felt I needed to. And I was praying, what should I do, Lord? We're coming to the end of this bunch of chickens. Well, that's what we call a bunch of, that's when we sell the chickens, each the company came and pick them up and so on. And I went in the chicken house, turned the lights on, about dusk dark. I walked in, and lo and behold, there stood someone looked just exactly like me. And we ran and embraced each other, about 10 foot apart. And he spoke these words. Do you know me? The theotomy did. And a voice came from within me. I didn't know how to. That just came automatically. A voice came from within me. And I said, yes, I've looked for you all my life. And he said, this shall be your last bunch of chickens. You know what? That was my last. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I'm not up here beating the wind. What I got, the tree of knowledge will bear witness this tree of life. The scales are in balance. In the last days, the living saints are going to be changed. How many believe it? Because that little book, the tree of life, come back to connect with this tree of knowledge. Amen. When you eat it, it can't help but give you eternal life. Amen. Now, the old body all. Now, we go back to the garden. Just to bring this in. And I guess it's closing time here. I don't know. Amen. Okay, I'm done. Oh, I got excited today and forgot I was in the world, see, and went over here. But I want you to look at this. Amen. In the garden, if they'd connected that tree of life and tree of knowledge, like God said down and give them opportunity to, of course, God knew they weren't, so it's saved for us in this hour. But the point being, they would have never died physically. See, that man wasn't created here to die. Death is a foreign language. Death is not something that was put into you. They only died because they took the tree of knowledge and didn't eat the tree of life. Amen. Is that right? And God took the tree of life aside and set flaming swords so that they couldn't get it. And that's what God has done in this message, every church age. Amen. He allowed men to say certain things. Amen. And those certain things is the tree. There's flaming swords. Keep away from those that can't go in by faith, by revelation. Amen. There's certain things the prophet said. Amen. And God used them as flaming swords. Keep people from getting to the life, but they can get to the tree of knowledge. Now I want you to watch that them flaming swords never did keep them from eating the tree of knowledge. Man eat on it from Genesis all the way through. It was the tree of life and it come by revelation. You have to have a revelation of God's Word. It's spiritual. Glory to God. We take the natural Word, the Bible that's written here. Amen. It's wonderful. It's the Word of God, the Holy Bible he often hear spoke of when it's anointed with the tree of life, this tree of knowledge here. Hallelujah. There's a perfect balance. There'll be a people walk out of here that'll be translated. They'll be translated in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. Now, I could say a lot more. And I brought in about Peter. I know I cut that a little short there about him going to Cornelius' house. Right contrary. Amen. But he went and the Holy Ghost fell. Amen. It came time. And let me tell you something, it came time. And the Bible says when it came time for Israel to be delivered, the children of Israel out of Egypt, when it came time, there was a child born. Amen. A proper child, his name was Moses. Amen. It began to come time for their deliverance. Amen. And when it began to come time for Sarah to have that child, Isaac, there came one to him, Elohim, the mighty God, and we could say Melchizedek or God in the flesh, however you want to word it, he was the theosmy of Christ, took on the human flesh, came and told Sarah and Abraham about this time next season, Sarah, your wife's going to conceive and she'll bring forth a child. And Abraham, the Bible says, good as dead. You read Paul said about it. Hebrews also in Romans 2. And Sarah, it ceased to be with her as with woman. Boy, that's not going to stop the promise. About this time next year, you'll conceive and bring forth a child and call his name Isaac. And that'll be the seed. Do you see this? A perfect balance in the Word. Amen. There's a resurrection for the dead. Amen. There's a translation of the saints. And that is for us to have the perfect balance of Word and Spirit. I can say that in the Spirit, but I got the Word to back it up. Amen. Thank you, Lord. How many knows it? Praise God. All right. Unjust balance is abomination in the eyes of the Lord. That's just taking the Word or taking the Spirit, either one. You got to keep it balanced. God bless you.